This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. I am Kanishka Balachandran and I am your host for today. We are looking ahead to the final of the ICC World Test Championship, which has been billed as the World Cup of Test Cricket. Over the last 2 years, 9 teams have played several series against each other, accumulating points. And the top 2 teams, India and New Zealand, will play each other in a one-off test match at Southampton starting on Friday. Now, this is the first such championship final of its kind in Test cricket. To discuss this new concept and how the teams shape up, we are joined today by Sharda Ugra, an independent journalist. Sharda is a very familiar name in the world of sports journalism, having covered multiple events, and she has also authored books on sport. I am also privileged to have worked with her at ESPN Cricinfo for a few years. So Sharda, it's good to catch up again and welcome to the In Focus podcast.
Hi Kanishka, thanks so much for inviting me. Great to be chatting again.
So Sharda, we are glad that the World Test Championship is not a non-starter anymore. But you know, that was what it was for many years, hasn't it? I mean, the ICC brought the plan to the table some years ago. It was cancelled and revived, and then it cancelled again and revived again. This has been in the making for a long time, and you have covered the ICC before and its workings. And why do you think it has taken the ICC this many years to get this up and running?
I think the World Test Championship, if you look at its history, you start hearing about it, say, around 2002, 2003, 2004, around that time as an idea. And every time it sort of turned up in conversations, it started with David Richardson, who came into cricket operations, pitching the idea to the board. Then in about 2010, when Harun Lorgat was the CEO, the idea came up again and it kind of went on the back burner. I think fundamentally when it began, the problem always was how are you going to get all the countries, test playing countries at that time, to play enough games quickly enough in a short period of time, but at the same time competitively so you can get this standing. And very early on in the conversation, people started talking about two divisions, promotion, relegation, you know, the top the top five teams and the others behind them. And that, I think, became a sticking point for a lot of the boards, like particularly Sri Lanka, the West Indies, so on. I mean, I was just going through some material where apparently Tilanga Sumathi Pala said, what will happen if India becomes number 8? You know, on that list. So I think that had started, that was primarily responsible for all the objections that were there to it. In 2013, there was a logo also that turned up. Then you had this test mace that goes around the world. And the whole conversation restarted in 2015, which then became this idea of, okay, these teams minus sort of Zimbabwe and Afghanistan. It's not a very inclusive idea. And let's at least kickstart this and get this going. And from the 2015, you'll see there has been movement and activity on it. And, always, even though the calendar was going to be crowded, I think right at the start, there's a very interesting piece that Richardson had spoken on Cricinfo. He spoke to Dan Bretting. And he said that, look, as a South African, I saw that teams had, you know, England and Australia had their Ashes. You know, India and Pakistan had their rivalry. And what did South Africa have? What is our context? So for a long time, the ICC had been wanting to, and it's a completely fine idea and a fair idea, which should have been done maybe even earlier than it had, is let's give a context to every single international match that is played, whether it's a one-day international or a test match. So this is about giving that context to it, and that's why we are at this point here today.
Right. But, you know, we talked about the context of the World Test Championship in what is in any way a crowded calendar. Now, we are seeing so many T20 leagues that have propped up in the last few years, and now it's gone even more. There's a T10 league, There's also the 100, which is also a new concept that we're yet to see. We're going to see very soon. Now you're sitting, there's a World Test Championship, like a World Cup of Test cricket in this calendar now. Now, do you think that it's necessary to have a championship like this for Test cricket? Just so that this long format of the game does not lose out completely to T20s and players don't start choosing the shorter formats, by almost by default.
I think they will sort of choose the shorter formats to start with. But at the same time, what's very important in cricket particularly is having these stories and these fables and these tales about the longest form of the game. Longest and technically and temperamentally the most demanding form of the game. I think it's important, which is what the Test Championship and a creation of a structure will give this to Test cricket, is to say, look, this is the toughest thing. You're going to play 2020, fantastic, great, you'll make money.
Yeah.
But if you really want to test your skill, this is what you should be aiming for. This is the pinnacle. So I think at least having the World Test Championship gives you an event and a pinnacle. At the previously to this, what did test cricketers do? They played for over their career lasted 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and all they had was their place in the ranking order of averages, maximum runs, aggregate, number of scores. That was their only context to their performance and to the team's performance as well. So you just had these vague kind of stats going around, but you do need a team in a team sport. You do need to have something that is emblematic of your success and your performance and your progress, which is what the World Test Championship hopes to do. The other formats have their own World Cups. They've got their tournaments every 2 years, every 4 years. It's there. Yeah. Test cricket was just sort of in this state of limbo, amorphously kind of wandering around everywhere. It's a struggle for the majority of test playing nations to kind of keep test cricket relevant to them. And maybe this is one of that hook that is there in the conversation and in the progress of how do you keep test cricket relevant. This is one way to keep it relevant. But you should, I think, very quickly I'll say, you should have countries like Afghanistan and Zimbabwe be given the chance to be involved in it. You can't get, so exclusive that eventually five countries will be playing. There's no point,
Yes, and, I was going to come to this anyway. You're talking about the lesser teams like Zimbabwe, Afghanistan and Ireland. Now, at the moment, it's only restricted to 9 teams. Ideally, we would love to have all test playing nations involved in the World Test Championship so that there's something to play for everybody. But right now, it's been played over a 2-year cycle. So between 2019 and 21, these are the top 2 teams. These are the teams that have qualified. Now, if you have to get more teams in, is there a scope for maybe increasing this the cycle to maybe say 3 years or possibly even 4 years, so that you can accommodate more teams and more matches, so that even in taking the event of COVID-19 disruptions, series being cancelled and postponed, you can actually accommodate more series. And do you think a 2-year cycle is too less?
I think a 2-year cycle, for the fact that it's limited to any a particular number of teams and not everybody, immediately makes it immediately makes it look a bit restrictive in that sense. But that is just almost an optimistic and a utopian kind of way of looking at it, because what you're seeing is that if you want everybody to play everybody home and away, then you're going to need a lot more time to be able to do it, and then you're sort of challenging the bilateral series agreements that are there in place, the FTP that is already there. Can you rework an FTP? So it's a complicated system to work out. But I think they'll have to find a way, because if Ireland, Afghanistan, and Zimbabwe are going to be left out of of the Test Championships, at some point they are going to say, we don't want to play Test cricket. What's in it for us? So that's 3 countries less, rather than expanding the scope of the game. And you don't look at it, say, 50 years down the line. people are going to look back at cricket at the time and say, what is this format which only 8 countries play in, whereas the game is now played cricket through 2020. Hopefully, you know, that's what it will be. 30 countries are playing it. 36 countries are involved in the World Cup calendar to qualify for whatever it is. What is this other thing that they're doing? What is so exclusive about it? Why do we care? So I think you need to find that kind of balance. But that is also difficult, Kanishka, because you know how boards behave, particularly the three top boards, the big three, as we call them, Australia, England and India. They will basically look after their own interests, which is, you know, matches with each other all the time, so that there's good television money riding on them. So it's a difficult thing to for the ICC that way to kind of work with all these sort of restrictions that are there and these sort of disadvantages that exist because of the way cricket is governed at the international level with these top 3-4 countries basically calling the shots. So it'll be tough. A 3-year cycle, maybe you can try it. Maybe try one new team at a time, something of that sort. How do you do it? I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently, when the original draft was being worked out, they've forgotten how many drafts they made for the Test Championship to begin with. You know, in the early 2000s, they just kept trying to work out a proper formula to have this. At the moment, at least they've got something going. So let's start with this and let's see how it turns out. Yeah.
And there were these suggestions by, very ambitious suggestions by Ravi Shastri and Ashwin recently, last few days, saying, let's have a best of three finals, or, you know, let's have play all matches in neutral venues. Now, even in a non-COVID pandemic time, it's still so difficult to get that up. Especially what Ashwin is suggesting about, you know, having teams playing in neutral venues. I think that is something that is going to be extremely, that's probably impossible. Let's just rule that out completely. So the best we can hope for is maybe have a little, one or two more new teams, I guess.
Correct. And I mean, I'm wondering what you're saying, you know, about the idea of having neutral venues. India is going to get fans everywhere they go. But what about the other countries? Who's going to come and watch them and support them? And who's going to own TV rights? Are ICC going to own the rights? Are the cricket boards ready to let ICC own the rights and therefore get the income? You have to get into all those things as well, you know?
Okay. So just looking at now at the whole format of this current World Test Championship, well, it's still a work in progress, as we have seen. And one of the most debated points was the point system, which has earlier started out as, you know, a flat 120 points available per series, irrespective of whether it's 2-test series or a 5-test series. And that was a bit flawed in the sense that you can play 2 tests in a series and earn 120 points, and you play a 5-test series and earn the same thing. There is no real proportion out there. And then they had to change it to a percentage point system based on the what you've gained versus how many it's available. And that came about because of the COVID-19 pandemic. We had series being cancelled and postponed. Now, The ICC has said last few days that this new point system will be continued for the next cycle because they feel that it's perhaps a little bit more fair. Do you think that this new point system is actually better than the first one and you think they should continue with it going forward?
I think it's a much more sensible way to look at it in a percentage point system way. I mean, Jeff Allardyce gave an interview to our colleague Nagraj, in which he explained the new format. I'm not very strong on arithmetic, so my percentage points will just start. I'll start getting dizzy, but it does seem to make more sense that you can't get 120 points for a series. Like one large chunk, whether it's 5 test matches or 2. You know, it doesn't make sense at all. And are there going to be, I think weighted points for away wins is also very important. I think that has to be also factored in. But as this is it's literally been a work in progress for now 20 years, if you actually think about it, almost 20 years. So maybe we should just give them a little chance to say, okay, let them try out what they're doing. Because think of it as sort of the DRS and how much time it took for that to kind of reach a level that we're happy with. And still there's grumbling about umpires.
Oh, of course.
So, I think perhaps they'll come up with something that seems more fair and more equitable. The important thing is at least get it going. At least start it, make it a part of a cricket conversation and make it a part of a cricket fan's sort of interest in how they follow the game. Particularly test cricket at the point, rather than just saying, okay, which country's turning up next, you know, to play? Where are we going to play in that kind of sort of contextless kind of way?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole part about the home and away point system has to be worked out in such a way that teams that win abroad should be rewarded more. I think India winning in Australia, England beating Sri Lanka, and Sri Lanka are two very decent examples. And, you know, that's, you know, it's not fair if they earn the same points if they, you know, if they have the same wins playing at home, which a lot of teams will end up doing, I think, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and you may not be able to travel much. I think that's going to be certainly something the ICC has to look at when they announce the new point system soon, hopefully.
Kanishka, quickly, I must, India versus Pakistan, when are we going to play test cricket? You know, there's that also thing that comes into the mix. So,
yeah. Well, that's something that we'll still don't know, and it's been a few years now.
Separate podcast for that.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Now, just looking ahead to the big match at hand, starting in a couple of days, India versus New Zealand. Well, it's just kind of fitting that you've got two very competitive sides playing against each other, and now they're playing in Southampton in June in England. Just looking ahead to the big match at hand, India versus New Zealand. Well, it's fitting that you've got two of the best teams in the world, probably the best test teams in the world playing right now. Just on paper, it would look like New Zealand have the edge because they're familiar with the conditions and they're playing in June in England, which is not too different from what they would get back home. And they're also in form after just beating England in a test series right now against a very... strange England side where they rested so many players. but New Zealand have also played a lot of their recent cricket in the last 2 years, you know, playing in their own home conditions. And they obviously do come in with some kind of an advantage there. Do you think that New Zealand actually go into this match having the edge? Just also given India's recent form, which is also really good.
I think, the advantage of conditions is something that is so heavy in cricket that, that you would look at it and say, obviously, New Zealand look the stronger team at the moment. I mean, their second test match, they won without Williamson in the side because he was resting to make sure that he was fine. Bolt came in for one match. So they've also been able to rotate their players the way they wanted, use them the way they want. So you would think that they would be in. They would be slightly ahead. But the Indians will always tell you, they've been saying it for a long time, we don't care about wickets, we don't care about conditions, and then you get the, we play how we play. India, in its cycle to get to the final, their most perhaps underwhelming performance was against New Zealand in New Zealand. So there's that factor that also works. And they're, apparently the weather forecast for Southampton has got rain and it's got clouds and it's got all those kind of things. But I think it'll just be because it's an occasion. I think the Indians will be up and ready for it. Whether they can actually translate that into a winning performance is something else. It depends on who wins the toss, what time of, when do you bat. All those sort of factors come in. But I'd say that both teams have the personnel to be able to get on top of each other.
Okay. No, the one thing about the Indian team performing overseas, we've seen that they, when the ball does swing, when there is movement off the seam, that's where they do kind of struggle. And if you look at the last time India played a test series in England, India lost 4-1. Now that the result was probably a lot more lopsided than it seems so, but then. In conditions where the ball probably does not swing as much, when there's extra bounce in Australia, they came out on top. It's more the seam swing and seam movement that seems to trouble Indian batsmen a little bit more. Do you think that Indian batsmen have now kind of overcome that weakness as they go look ahead to this fairly long summer coming up?
That will actually depend on whether they are, you know, if you look at the performances in New Zealand, which they'll tell you, listen, all the wickets were like those gardens, green, you know, made for us to look bad. But I think every batsman struggles against the sideways moving ball, and it's what you do with it and how you cope with it and how you the shots that you choose to play or not play is what gets into it. At the same time, the Indians have the bowlers who can have always had through history, in fact, bowlers who, when helped with a little bit of spin, could do a lot of things. I think our success in England and in English conditions was far greater than it was, say, in places like South Africa or Australia until the recent, say, the last 10 years or so. So historically, we've managed in England because we've had batsmen who are able to play, and we've had bowlers who are able, with swing, who are able to challenge the opposition batsmen as well. And now, because we have a really good fast bowling unit as well as quality spin and the all round abilities of Ravindra Jadeja, who I would think should play. It makes for a very good compact kind of unit. You'll just have to get. I mean, I'll be very interested to see how Shubman Gill will play in England.
Yeah.
I mean, massive, absolutely beautiful batsman to watch. I want to see how he'll do. Whether he has progressed from his tremendous debut in Australia, which after that was met with a little bit of a dip. But I want to see how people like Shubman Gill in particular will do.
And do you think the New Zealand batsmen have the kind of technique to be able to play the Indian spinners? I know India's not playing in home conditions, but we've seen how the England batsmen struggled so much against them, Indian spinners in the recent series here at home. And Ashwin too had good success in Australia. Do you think the New Zealand batsmen are probably technically better at handling the Indian spinners compared to, say, the Australians?
That would be interesting to see, depending on what they're able to do if put under pressure by somebody like Jadeja, bowling absolutely in the right place, in the same spot all the time, who's able to just cramp you and build pressure. I would think Williamson is their world-class batsman without a doubt. You know, I think there's no question. I think if he leads, everyone will follow. It'll be that kind of a batting performance. I think they will be very happy with how they have performed in the series that's just gone past. Not that England had the greatest spin that was available to them. Root was bowling most of the time. So it's not that they met with that. That will perhaps be a very, very interesting sort of factor for them to look at going into this game. Ideal situation, India wins the toss, puts up a big total and bowls them out twice. Ideal. Dream scenario.
The curator has said, has predicted pitch that would have pace, bounce and carry. So if that is true, then, you know, would India go in with actually go in with two spinners, Ashwin and Jadeja, or will they go with one? Do you think two spinners is something India is most likely to go with?
I would think so, because they've got if you've got five specialist batsmen, punt at six, then you can go in with five bowlers and you can have and play two spinners as well, and you'll get the advantage of, say, Ashwin's batting and Jadeja's batting as well to kind of bolster you all the way down to eight. But one thing to be said about curators, they all tell you that every wicket in the world will give you spin, carry and bounce. All the time before every game, this is what you hear. So let's see how things actually turn out. Let's see whether the weather plays a big part in this test match or not.
Yes. And I think the forecast isn't terribly encouraging for the days of play. But we'll have to just hope that we can get whether with the sixth day, which is like the reserve day, will come into force or not to be able to get an outright result. But of course, if it is drawn, then the teams share the trophy as per the rules. So, thank you so much, Sharda, for this discussion on the World Test Championship final. And I know that you'll also be keeping an eye on the women's test that's starting today, and there's also the Euros. So it's a busy time up ahead for you as well.
Thanks, Kanishka. It was great fun chatting with you.
In Focus, we'll be back soon.
with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.